Usually that's where I leave it. Usually leave it then to the preacher to carry on the rest of the service, but this minister of yours has got me roped in tonight. So here we are. It's nice to be with you. Trust that the Lord will help us. Let's turn for this to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Before we read, we'll just pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee that there was a plan in Thine heart to send Thine only begotten Son. We thank Thee, Lord, that when our parents sinned in the early days after creation, and they turned and went their own way, that God had a plan from all eternity. We thank You that Thine only begotten Son was willing to give Himself. We thank You that He is willing to come into this world to make Himself of no reputation, take upon Him the form of a servant, even to become sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. So we thank You that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, and there's a door that is opened where we all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. So we thank Thee, Lord, that You have a way of redemption. We thank You that You have a plan to take us to Thy sublime abode. For Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for You, and if I go, I will come again and receive You unto Myself, that where I am, there You may be also. So, Lord, come to our hearts. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for that great day, that we might be amongst those, Lord, who stand before Thee and hear those words, well done, Thou good and faithful servant, enter Thou into the joy of Thy Lord. So help us in this meeting, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. I think if the people in the world was living according to that chapter, there wouldn't be too many problems in the world. I think if the Christians in the world, we're living according to that chapter, wouldn't be too many problems in the church. Well, I was born in County Fermanagh, and I have lived most of my life outside of County Fermanagh, just outside it, as James was saying, on the border there, Tyrone, but still consider myself a Fermanagh man. We were brought up in a home where it was a kind of an old-fashioned home, you know, and it was quite strict, and my mother was the head of the house. My father died when my brother and I were babies. Neither of us remember him. But then my mother married again, and the second husband, then there was another 5 children, so that was left 7. But then the second husband died. So the most of the time, the 7 children were brought up by my mother. And she believed in the laying on of hands, if you understand that expression. It was usually the stick rather than the hand, but it could have been anything. It could well have been anything. Probably the fact that she had 7 children to bring up on her own, it wasn't going to be simple. And she was determined that she wasn't going to let us get wild. And so that's the way we were brought up. We were sent along to Sunday school and church, to the local Church of Ireland. And I didn't ever grasp in those early days that I needed to trust Jesus Christ as my Saviour. As I look back now, that's kind of strange, because I had quite a few outside, you know, in the outer family circle that are saved and still are. I have think of two aunts of mine down our way. And if there's any, well, there is rewards in heaven. If there's rewards for giving out tracts, them two aunts of mine must be at the top of the list whenever they're still with us here below, but they're elderly. They've given out more gospel tracts. And had another aunt, Christian, and uncle is a Christian. But I never grasped that in the early years. The thing that I just expected or thought was you had to keep the commandments. And that was the only thing that ever sort of went through my head. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. I never did it in my life. Honor your father and mother. That was one that stuck with me. And many's the time my mother asked me to do things I didn't want to do. Go to the shop. Make your bed. Make the tea. And if I didn't want to do them, the thing would come into my head, honor your father and mother. And I don't remember ever not. Generally, I did what I was told, whether I liked it or not, because I had those commandments within my head. You know, when you turn over to the book of Galatians, and the book of Galatians talks a lot about keeping the commandments. Chapter 3 and verse 11 says, no man is justified. No man is justified in the sight by the law, in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And throughout that book of Galatians, it's worth looking at, you'll see that keeping the commandments is not what it's all about. And that's where I had got the wrong end of the stick. Now, probably when people come to this pulpit and they give your testimony and they tell you about the wild life that they lived, and it's very exciting. My story's not like that. I remember there was a big brethren man. The fact that he was brethren didn't make him big, but he was big and he was brethren, and that's just the way it was. And he had a car. We never had a car in our house until we were the age of driving and could get one ourselves. But he had a car, and he would have lifted us on a Sunday afternoon and taken us children to the brethren meetings. And I remember a man getting up in the brethren meeting and telling the story of his own life. And he said, when I came to this meeting tonight, he said, I had to get somebody else to bring me. For he says, I have lost my driving license for life, the wild life that he lived. He says, I've been in jail for gun crime. And a wee fella like me sitting in the meeting, I thought, wouldn't it be great to be able to stand up in the pulpit and tell things like that? Foolishness, but anyway. You see, I can't tell things like that. And James says, amen. And you see, the point is this. I tried to live a good life. I tried to keep the commandments. And I didn't expect that anything else was required of me. I mean, why did God give us the commandments? We were having an outreach in Irvinstown a while back. Some of the young folk in the church had organized it, and they had got a wee questionnaire made out. And I was with one of the young folk at the certain end of the town, and had the questionnaire, and we're asking these people some questions, you see. Got this lady coming down the street, and we're asking her these questions. And then one of the questions was, how do you think you can get to heaven? And she says, by keeping the commandments. You'd think that was a right good answer, wouldn't you? But that's not the way that we get to heaven. That's not why God gave us the commandments. He gave us the commandments to show us, this is my standard. But no matter how hard you try, you're never going to keep them all the time. There's a verse there in that Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, and it's very interesting. I want you to remember this one. It talks about the law, which is the commandments. Galatians 3:24. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. So the idea of the commandments was this. They were like a school teacher to teach us the way. The way is that you cannot keep these commandments in your own strength. You cannot please God in your own strength. You cannot get to heaven just by being good. Now, all that was kind of mystery to me, because I thought it was good. So, there came a little gospel mission with a man from England arrived on a bicycle. Now, imagine he didn't ride from England, you know, the whole way across, but he had a bicycle. And he rode around our district on the bicycle inviting us out to the mission. I'm not as old as you think now, but I'm not young either. But he only had a bicycle. And we went along to these children's meetings. Actually, there was a neighbour man again. There was a different neighbour man. He had a car. And he got us into the car, and he brought us to these meetings. And there was a wee choruses there that I'd never heard before. And he told us the wee Bible stories. And again, I went home from those meetings, you know, I don't know many nights, but it never seemed to register with me that I had to do anything. Until one night, and he was talking about Jesus Christ coming back again. And that scared me. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come back again. That got me thinking. And so I simply realized that I needed Jesus to be my Savior. Trying to keep the commandments wasn't good enough. Obeying my mother wasn't good enough. They were all right, but they weren't going to get me to heaven. Not taking the Lord's name in vain. Not stealing. Not swearing. And very simply, one night in that meeting, when everybody else went out, I stayed behind. And I prayed a little prayer to ask Jesus into my heart. And something happened, for I knew it. I absolutely knew it. There was something lifted off me. It must have been the burden of sin, but I didn't know I was carrying the burden of sin before it. But something lifted that night. Something lifted. And I was saved. And my sins were forgiven. And I was starting out in the Christian life. Now, do I say amen? And that's the end of the whole story. In one sense, it's the end of the story, but for me, it was only the beginning of the story. Because as I heard a man saying one time, he says, I had far more conviction after I was saved than before I was saved. And I was there too. Because as the years went on, God was dealing with my life in different ways, and there's times I didn't catch on. You see, whenever God saves you, he doesn't just set you like a wee train on a railway line and say, on you go. Down the line you're going straight to heaven. Bye bye. That's not the way it works. When you set out to follow Jesus Christ, he's with you. And you're walking a road and he's your friend. And I had a time coming to grasp all that. Because I was sort of running my life my own way. And God wanted to get in on me and say, well, look, here's things I want to show you. Here's things I want to teach you. And friends, when we set out on the Christian life, remember this, it's a journey. There's a verse 11 there in that chapter 3 of Galatians, and I wasn't going to talk about Galatians. I read Romans, but and we'll... There's a verse 11 there. No man is justified. And maybe we read it earlier, but we'll read it again. By the law and the sight of God, for it is evident, the just shall live by faith. Now I know we preach that there. When we say the just shall live by faith, you're saved by faith. That's not what it says, although we are saved by faith. Your whole Christian life is to be lived by faith. You're to live by faith. And this was the problem with the Galatian people. A lot of them had got saved, but then they were just living their life their own way. They weren't walking in faith with the Lord as he wanted them to. And God has a lot of work to do in our lives after we get saved. And God had an awful lot of work and still has to do in my life. Well, I don't know where to start, but there's all sorts of things happened way back in those few years after that. And a lot of it, of course, was around the church situation, as a lot of you folk would understand. And the time came, we weren't happy at all with the church we were going to. My mother asked the minister one day about salvation. And he told her that he believed in salvation and explained her what it was. That salvation is the creation and the flowers and the plants and all the lovely things that God has given to us. That is salvation, he said. So the minister didn't understand the things of God. Strange that, isn't it? So anyway, we started to go to gospel meetings and gospel preaching churches. I said to you, somebody asked me to sing at a young people's meeting, and I sang. But I was sitting one night in a meeting, and I was due to sing at it. But there was a battle in my heart. Because I had realized, you see, God had shown me that I wasn't the good boy that I thought I was. Because the Bible says that out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, wickedness, and all the evil things in this world. Where do they come from? They come out of our heart. And God was bringing me to see that in my heart, there was a potential. I could have been as bad as any other wicked man. You see, when you hear the news at times, and you could hardly listen to the news nowadays, but if you listen to the news and you hear about the terrible things it's done, you know, we should realize that there's a potential in each one of us to be that evil. Only for the grace and mercy of God. And God was showing me that in my heart, instead of being the good fellow that I thought I was, it was all deep down there, just the potential for all the sins of the world. And I was asking God about this. And I was asking God to come to me and just to touch me. And I was sitting in that meeting where I was due to sing. And I made God a promise in that meeting. That, the lax sort of Christian life that I was living, I promised God, I said, I'm going to be different from this night forward. Well, the thought come to me then, you've told God a lie. So now it wasn't bother. So I said to God in that meeting, if you don't want me to have told you a lie, you'll have to do something. And there came a peace within my heart and mind. And something touched me that night, the hand of God. And things started just to move on a higher plane. When you would read the Bible, suddenly it was more interesting. Now I had been saved for a good while. And I could see things in it. Did you ever read the Bible and think it's a wild, boring book? Even as a Christian. Does the Bible speak to you? Does God teach you things from it? And so, I wanted to live for God. You see, I was useless. I was somebody that just could do nothing. I know people talk about me now and they say, well, see, you're up there singing and you're up there speaking. You don't know the Gordon Quinn. The shyest pupil in the school. The one that was picked on. The one that was bullied by the other children. And incidentally, don't you bully any other children, any of you children. If there's a wee quiet child in your school, you stand by them. I was the boy that was bullied. I was the boy that got the wrath of the other students because I was quiet and shy and backward. But I wanted to do things to please God in my Christian life just. Well, you know what you're like at school. I was shy, but I wasn't that shy that I didn't want a girlfriend, to be honest now. That was something I was out for. Some of the other boys, you see, at school, they were getting linked up with some of the girls, and I got linked up with one of the girls in school. And it wasn't that we had fallen in love, really, but you know what it's like. You just wanted to be, you kind of wanted to be part of the rest of them. And I suppose, me being shy, I sort of thought, well, you'd be part of the gang, you know. So I started to go with this girl, but when I left school, the relationship continued. And I knew it wasn't right. But she wasn't saved, and I was. And then it started to get to me. What am I going to do? What do you do in such a situation? Well, the truth of the matter is, I shouldn't have been in the situation in the first place. And a saved person should not be going with an unsaved. They shouldn't be doing it. So I got up the courage and I broke off that relationship. I shouldn't have been in it in the first place. So there I was. And I remember being at work one day, and a girl says to me at work, she says, "You don't go to dances, and you don't go to the pictures, and you don't go to the pubs." I don't know what list she went down. She says, "How are you ever going to get a girlfriend?" Well, I knew the one I wanted wasn't going to be there either, but I didn't know where she was going to come out of. But I wasn't running around the country looking at her. Well, I didn't think she would come to me, but that she did. So there was a neighbour woman of mine, and she worked near where I worked, and she used to get me to give her a lift home from work. And when I stopped one evening to give her a lift home, she had this lovely young girl with her. And I wondered to myself, who's that? And I thought she looked quite nice, actually. But I hadn't a clue. I didn't know if she was saved or not. But anyway, you start hearing wee things back and you hear she is saved. So anyway, I always recommend the services where you have tea afterwards because you can get a chat to them. And that's what happened. I was at a service and she was at the same service and we got a chat. And anyway, it was love from first sight. And she's still with me anyway. But God brought it to pass. God brought someone into my life. When I broke up the relationship, that I didn't have to run around the country looking for someone. I wouldn't have got the right one anyway, for I wouldn't know where to go. But there were things like this that started to happen in my life. I was working on a job. And a man came to me one day. He says, "You're not too happy in that job that you're in." Now, I don't know how he knew because I hadn't told him. He says, "There's a job going in our place." And he says, I'll put in a word for you." He was one of the managers in the place. So I said, "Okay." So I applied and I was looking forward to this job because the job I was in was very badly paid. I started off at £9.50 a week. I gave my mother a fiver. Paid the bus. Any pay that I couldn't get a lift out of the rest of it. And whatever was left over was my own. That's how well it was. A friend of mine who was at school with me came into the office one day to pay his bill, and he opened his wage packet before me and hid £18. My, was I gonked. But this man comes to him and he says, "You're not happy in that job." He says, I'll put your word in for you, get a job in our place. And I thought it was great because there was good pay in the other job and you got a car supplied as well. And the morning of the interview, I got down beside my bed to say my prayers, and some thought came over me, or feeling came over me, I don't want the job. So I don't know whether you ever went for an interview for a job you didn't want, but I did. And I didn't get it. They maybe sensed it. But sometime later, I got a different job. And the strange thing is, and I might never have known this part of the story, but I was in the job that I got then, and a man, Christian man, one day started telling me a story. He said, a friend of mine, a Christian man, a brethren man, he says he applied for a job one time in this town. I started to think that's the job I was in for. He says he got the job, but he says he stayed in it no time, for he says you couldn't be a Christian and be in it. And then I realized why God had kept me out of it. And so I was excited to see God moving, God speaking. And friends, I want to ask you, is your Christian life exciting to you? Is it exciting? I mean, do you go home and read the Bible and say, what is God teaching me today? I'm afraid so much of Christianity today is a drudge and a bore. It's a have to. Go to church because I have to. But you see, you're getting back to the old Galatian thing again, aren't you? You're running it for rule's sake. God wants your relationship with Him to be a personal, living relationship from day to day. God wants to be relevant in your life. God wants to speak to you. God wants to show you. It's not stuff way out of this world. God wants to be relevant in your life. Well, the job that I did get, it eventually, boss called me in one day and he says, this place has been bought over. New firm taking it over. He says, there's no job for you in the new firm. So now I was on the spot. But it wasn't really. I came out of his office into the main office, and there was a number of girls working there. One of them was my sister. And I told them I'd just been paid off. And she says to me, why are you smiling? I said, I don't know, but I just feel it's in the Lord's hands. The Lord will work something out. Before that day was over, the phone rang. It always rings anyway, but it rang. And there was a man on the other side of the phone. He says, would you be interested in a job? I says, I'm your man. They offered me a job and I got it, and I'm still in it. And you see, friends, with God, your Christian life, you can be in the place where He wants you to be. You can be doing what He wants you to do. It can be exciting. We want to encourage you. Give yourself wholly to God. That wee piece that I sang, I will say yes, dear Lord, to thee alone. A lot of this stuff's around my jobs, but I'll soon finish in the jobs. But sometimes the people that you have to work with are not easy, are they? Maybe it was me with a problem, but don't think so. Did you ever notice that sometimes God puts you in the awkwardest spots? I remember working one time with someone that turned out to be very hard to work with. I'll not go into the details, but I'll tell you this, and this is the truth. Any morning when I got up and felt sick, I was glad. I would rather be sick than go to that job. That's where it got. That's where it got, because there's one person in that place. And I asked God to get me out of that job. And then I read a verse one day, and it absolutely bowled me. God says, I'll give you a request, but I'll send leanness into your soul. I immediately said, no, Lord, I will stay in that job. And there came a peace over me. There came a peace over me that was absolutely, I've never had it before or since. It lasted about a week. Unusual. Unusual. I'm going to tell a bit of the story that I don't tell. But I'm not a Free Presbyterian. But you know what happened? I think it was the following Sunday. The Free Presbyterians beside us had, I think it was a day of prayer. I went to their day of prayer. I was so on top of the moon. But it was God coming and just confirming. Well, children started to come along. And the one thing I didn't want for my children was the sort of a schooling that I had. I thought to myself, if I can keep them from what I've been through. Well, the Free Presbyterians again come into the equation. They had a school over at Kilskerry, but we weren't living there at the time. And I thought to myself, if I could get my children to that Christian school, that's where I would send them. So we put our house up for sale, and long story anyway, is the man had it bought, and then at the final hour he couldn't get the money, so he hadn't it bought. So we were getting round to the time when the school would be soon starting, and what were we going to do? So we took a step of faith, and we sent the children to the school, and we got them drawn to the school for a while. But another man then came in to buy the house. But then we were still at a problem because there was no house to go to. And my brother, who's a Christian man, came to me one day. He says, I've seen the house for you. He says, there's a house for sale in Kilskerry. That's it. So I went into the auctioneer. I says, is there anything on that house? No, he says, there's not even a bid on it. How much do they want for it? He told me, and I gave him a bid of something less, and somewhere between the two, we come up with a deal. And he says, you'll have the house. Well, we thought we had the house, but the Reverend Ivan Foster was speaking to me one day, and he encouraged me by saying that person was selling that house before, and they changed their mind. So they did the same this time. So They came back to me, they said that they don't take that money now. They want more. Oh, well, I might be soft, but I'm not that soft. So I said, no, I'm not going to give any more. So I walked one day into another estate agent in Enniskillen. And I said, well, what houses have you for sale? And when I was in that estate agent, do you know who walked in? The opposition, the other estate agent that was selling me the house from the other company. You know what happened when I got back to my office? I got a phone call. He says, did you see anything in that estate agent? No, I says, I didn't. Well, he says, this woman says she'll take the money now. And we got the house. And we've seen the hand of God working. I mean, have you ever seen the hand of God working in your life? Does your Christianity become part of you? Does God work out things for you? And I found, as I say, that it's the journey. It's the journey afterwards. It's one thing getting saved, and we need to. But we have a journey, and we have a life to live, and we have to try and follow God. We have to listen to the way He's leading us. And it becomes exciting. Does your relationship with Jesus Christ excite you? I suppose, you know, sometimes we just come to church. Oh, we were saved 50 years ago, but that was it. I never heard from God since. What about your relationship with Him today? Does He walk with you and talk with you along nice narrow way? I was asked to speak at a meeting one time, and I just didn't, whether it was the speaking at the meeting or whether there was something else to come over me, I don't know, but I didn't feel well. And I said to God in that room that day, I says, if you want me to speak at that meeting tonight, you're going to have to do something if it touched me. And that sickness, that thing just left. I can honestly say I felt something going down through my feet. Now you think there's a rabbi up here. He's one of these extremists. I'm not. When I was a child, I took warts in my hand. Now I blamed another child in school for it because he had warts, and I'm assuming that's where I got them, but anyway. My stepfather, he put me on the back of a bicycle. You know, one of them wee carriers. Because I've never seen them, but you old folk have seen them. And he took me round the road from where we lived to a house. To a man that had a charm for warts. So the man went out in the field and he got these rushes. And he took the white out of the rushes. And he started to do something, I don't remember right what he'd done, but he must have rubbed my warts with this white stuff and all that. And he did this charm, and the warts went away. I know now that that charms is wrong, and you shouldn't go to charms. But the reason I tell you this was, I never had warts from that till a few years ago. And there was a mark, I can't remember, it may have been that thumb there. And over a period of time, it was getting worse. And I thought it was just a cut or something. And then one day I realized that's a wart. And of course, by that, now I knew that, I mean, I shouldn't have went to